My last parish, 1 year in the confirmation program, was a girl. Let's call her Caroline. Okay. Caroline, I would have to say, was not the most enthusiastic member of that confirmation class. Okay. She tended to be rather moody in her personality, but she got confirmed. And then I saw change start to happen in Caroline's life. She actually became friendlier and won more friends. She joined the parish, she was confirmed in eighth grade, she joined the parish youth group in high school. She didn't seem to put up a fight afterwards going to Mass with her parents, who were quite involved in the parish. She started to help her mother, who was one of our catechists, with younger children, preparing them to know more of the faith. And really, there was something really attractive about what happened to Caroline. So maybe there are many other factors involved, but I would say that I saw one Caroline before confirmation. I saw a very different one starting to appear afterwards, okay? Real change can happen through this sacrament. Now, before you're confirmed, you have to have been baptized, right? So why? Because baptism, if any of you are the Easter Vigil Mass this past Holy Saturday, right? You would have heard the Epistle of St. Paul, chapter 6 of his letter to the Romans, in which he explains to us that we, through our baptism, have been joined to Christ in his saving death and resurrection. It's in a mysterious way. It's not, we didn't die, we didn't rise physically the way the Lord died and rose bodily from the dead, but we're joined to his saving death and resurrection, joined to him in that sacrament of baptism. That's why that's always the first sacrament. You've got to be joined to Christ first before you receive the rest of his sacraments. Right. And in that sacrament of baptism, we become children of God by adoption. We were creatures of God before. That's not a bad deal, because creatures of God, we're made in God's image and likeness as creatures. So, pretty good. But even better is to be a member of the family. Okay, we're adopted into God's family in baptism. Our sins, I baptized a man once, 84 years old. Okay, everything he'd ever done wrong was forgiven through baptism without confession. That is a great freebie, right? So it doesn't matter what age, but our sins, including original sin, which is the bad choice the first human being has made, and it's affected all of us. Okay. We receive the grace, sharing in the life of the risen Christ through baptism. In other words, we're given a share in Christ's mission, bring the gospel to others. So we get a lot in baptism, and it's enough to really get us started in the Christian life. Okay, where does confirmation fit in? Well, I think the adults present, would you agree that the challenges in life are greater in adulthood than in childhood? Say something.
Yes.
All right, very good. Good checking if you're awake. Yeah. All right. They are. The challenges are greater, okay? Some young people face great challenges too, but in general, challenges are greater when we're adults. Well, you know, by the way, God knows that. So he says, I've got the remedy for that. And it's called confirmation, because confirmation is going to strengthen the gifts initially received in baptism. The Holy Spirit, remember, we're baptized, our name is said, and then I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the whole Trinity showed up at our baptism. So we met the Holy Spirit before. There were gifts from the Spirit at baptism. But in confirmation, they are strengthened to help us to meet the challenges of adult life. Everyone's using computers today, right? You might get a little message on your computer that says, you're running out of space. You know, and so you get you got to add some more gigabytes to a computer. You add capacity, right? Confirmation adds capacity to us to live a good Christian life, to follow Jesus, to love God above all things, love our neighbors, ourselves, to stand up for the truth and what's right and good, even if it costs us. The strength to do that is increased in us through confirmation and the gifts of the Spirit received then. I divide those gifts of the Spirit into two main categories. There are gifts that enlighten our mind to grasp the truth. There are gifts that strengthen our will to put that truth into action. Let me illustrate with a few examples, okay? Confirmandi, maybe you're really good at math in your math class in school, and the teacher explaining something about how, maybe it's an algebra problem, how to do this, and you get it, but you notice a person next desk over is just looking confused, doesn't get it, and you get an inspiration. Remember, the Spirit is in that word. You get an inspiration to do something about it. So after class, you see your classmate, say, you know, I know you looked like you were struggling there. You know what? He said, this is what this means. And the light bulb goes on in his or her head, and you've helped out another person. Okay? You've done some good that day, all right? Through an inspiration you got from the Holy Spirit. Because you could be a person who just, you noticed a struggle and said, good, well, I'll do better than him on the exam. I don't really care. But you do care, because you're baptized into Christ and you're strengthened by the gifts of the Spirit to care about people and to help them out. But you realize it because you got an inspiration, the Holy Spirit. Or it could be you grasp something that supposedly very intelligent people and well-known and powerful people don't get. I was on the March for Life a couple of years ago, just prior to the pandemic, down in Washington, went with some young people from the Northern Panhandle. There was a high school girl on the bus with us, and she had made her own poster, which she carried in the March for Life. What did that say? That poster said, I'm here for the millions of babies who aren't. I'm here for the millions of babies who aren't. That confirmed Catholic high school student grasped something that some politicians, some university professors, some corporate executives, media folks, well-known entertainment figures don't get. But she got it because she was enlightened to grasp the truth about the value of an unborn human child that other people don't understand. Or the Holy Spirit can help you grasp the truth about your life. What are you supposed to do with your life? Okay? In my first parish, there was a boy named Eddie. Eddie was just, he was a great kid. You know, the other kids liked him, the adults. So he was just a good kid. He joined our high school youth group also. He went on to college at Notre Dame in Indiana. He was commissioned an officer in the U.S. Navy, served. When he finished his service in the Navy, I heard he was back home. By that time, I was the vocation director for the Archdiocese of Washington. And I thought, Eddie might make a great priest. At Notre Dame, he went around his dorm on Sunday morning and said, the guy knocking doors said, get up, you pagan, and go to Mass. Eddie really was convinced about his faith. Well, I took him out to dinner and said, hey, Eddie, have you ever thought about becoming a priest? And he looked at me and said, well, I know my mother would be happy if I did. I knew right then and there that was not his calling, and it wasn't. It was not. Well, I had the opportunity last fall to have dinner with Eddie and his wife. They have four children out in San Diego, California, where they live. Eddie had realized that One vocational path in the Catholic Church, that was not for him. But another one was marriage and family life. So the Holy Spirit guided him to see the truth that he was to live out for the rest of his life. That's a real service the Holy Spirit offers to us. So some young people being confirmed, some of these gifts of the Holy Spirit really do help you understand things in the moment or long term for your whole life. But one thing is to understand, another is to put it into practice. The truth has to be lived out, okay? There's one of the gifts called fear of the Lord or awe in God's presence, right? It's one of those seven. I was confused those gifts, but that's one of them, I know, right? When I was going over to Rome to study theology, I took a boat. There were still some transatlantic passenger liners at that time. This is 1970. I'm old. Okay? And halfway through, it took about 6 days to cross the Atlantic Ocean, another 2 days to get to Naples where we debarked. But about the third day out, I just up to the prow of the ship and just looked out over the ocean. Nothing but water. Water everywhere. And it just came to me how powerful and intelligent God must be to create this earth with this immense expanse of water. And then there's the Pacific Ocean too, right? I flew over that one. And then all the other planets and suns and galaxies, the whole universe. The word awesome came to mind, okay? That sense of reverence and awe in God's presence, even in creation, can help us respect and honor God. Another example, I was on a retreat once with some teenagers, and these are high school kids, and they were from different schools. They all went to different schools. And there was a boy there he was the only one from his own school, okay? The only one. Well, some of the other boys from another school, they were kind of making life hard on him, kind of picking on him, right? I was about to intervene, but I didn't have to. Another boy came up to those boys who were harassing the first one and said, "Hey guys, knock it off. That boy, he's here for the same reason we are. Leave him alone." Took a little courage to do that, but he had it. He did it, and it was effective. Those other boys left the first one alone. By the end of the retreat, they were all getting along pretty well. But one boy had the courage to step up and do something. Okay. Final example. Okay. A young woman was engaged to be married. The wedding invitations had been sent out. And her fiancé presented her with a prenuptial agreement. Do you adults know what that is? Okay. Tell your children, beware of those things, all right? It had in there, you know, in case of divorce, this is how we split the money and the property and so on. And the young woman said, "I thought we were marrying for love." And he said, "Well, I mean, yeah, but it doesn't work out. I got to protect myself." She wouldn't sign. Recognizing, it's a confirmed Catholic young woman, that marriage is supposed to be for love and endure to the end of life. That's the goal. She wouldn't sign, and he wouldn't marry her unless she did. There was no wedding. That was very hard on her. I know her parents pretty well. But she meets another young man. They fall in love. I had the blessing of having their wedding. And from her parents, what they say, they're doing fine. It worked out well. But she grasped the light of the Holy Spirit, grasped the truth about marriage, as our Catholic Church has upheld it for many, many centuries, and will continue to do so. He also had the courage to act on that truth. young people, the Holy Spirit will give you the courage to stand up for the truth as well. You know, Thomas in the gospel only came to see the reality, or understand the reality of Christ's resurrection by seeing the wounds, right? You stand up for the truth, you're going to get wounded too. But others may notice and admire you for doing so. My last parish, we had lots and lots of immigrants, a number of them from Latin America, in particular El Salvador, which had gone through a civil war. I was actually there during the civil war. But I noticed something. The masses in Spanish, there were lots of young Salvadoran men because they respected a church that had suffered with them during the civil war, even losing the Archbishop of San Salvador to an assassin's bullet. They admired that courage to stand up for the truth when the church suffered a lot of wounds. It does impress people when you do the right thing. So young people, confirmation will not change you outwardly. Your hair is not going to change color. Your weight and, you know, height are not going to suddenly change. But you'll be changed inwardly. You will have gifts strengthened in you now to live your Christian faith, understanding the truth better and having the courage to live by it. But your part, all you have a part to play in all this. You don't sit on the sidelines of your own life. You're supposed to be active and engaged in it. Right? So what is your part? So that you can let those graces of the Holy Spirit work in you. First thing is prayer. Take some time each day to pray. Talk to God. Don't leave him out of your life. Open up your day. Put something down by the foot of your bed to remind you to pray as soon as you get out of bed. Just a Lord, good morning. Thank you for a good night's sleep. Thank you for this new day. Help me be better. Son, daughter, brother, sister, friend, whatever. Such and such happened in school today. Please help him with it. End with an Our Father. Start your day. Take you maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes. You can spare that. No matter how busy you are, you can take that time. At the end of the day, talk to God a little bit before you go to bed too. You bookend your day with a little bit of personal prayer. Okay? The second thing to do is wear prayer now. It's a different kind of prayer. It's called liturgical prayer. The format has been worked up by the church over many, many centuries. So the church is bishop, Monsignor, Father, don't mess with this. This is how we worship God, whether it's Mass or how we do baptism or how we do confirmation or how we celebrate weddings. Don't mess with it. This works for our people, right? So why not come when you can? By the way, you're safer at a Catholic Mass than you are many other places you might go in terms of the COVID virus. You know, during the first year, we had no reports of anyone getting sick at a Catholic Mass, 92 parishes and 18 missions. That's 110 places where Masses were offered once we opened up again the public Masses. That's pretty good. People cooperated well. I hope we don't have to go back into all that again. But, you know, I'm so proud of our people here in West Virginia, our Catholic people. But come to Mass, because here we're gathered as an assembly of God's people. We hear the word of God proclaimed to us as a people. And then we receive the Lord Jesus, who humbles himself to become food for our spirit so that we can, during this week coming up, follow him faithfully. So come to Mass. And adults, I don't think any of the confirmandi, well, maybe one or two drive already. Others don't, at least legally, right? So they need your help, parents, guardians, and sponsors, okay? Third thing, confession. Confession is a wonderful sacrament. I'll be going down to a parish in way down in the southern part of the diocese tomorrow, Spencer. Anyone ever been to Spencer? I hope I can find it. Okay, so, you know, we'll be down there. But Divine Mercy Sunday, they said, Bishop, we want you to hear confessions. I know how to do that. I'll do that. Then we have Mass and then dinner with the parishioners. But, you know, confession, Pope Francis keeps calling this the sacrament of God's mercy, and it is. It's a wonderful thing to receive the mercy of God, to know, yeah, we've done wrong, you know, and we're sorry for it. But God, who knows we did wrong, he has forgiven us. It's a wonderful experience of God's mercy. Also, the Bible. One of you who's being confirmed chose the saint's name of Jerome, okay? Saint Jerome, back in the late 4th, early 5th century, translated the entire Bible by himself from the original languages, Hebrew Aramaic, and Greek. Okay? And he said, ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ. If you really want to know your Savior, read especially the Gospels, but other parts of the scriptures too. Not long passages, something short. Focus on it. Put yourself into it. Right? And you'll come to know and to love your Savior more. Okay. Finally, involvement with the Christian community and service, doing things that help others. Some of you mentioned St. Ursula's, which I think is that gives out food and clothing and stuff to help people who need it, right? That's a good work of mercy. That's something that we can be proud of, the people doing that in our name. Catholic Charities does so much good work in the state. It's the largest non-governmental source of help to people in need in West Virginia. By the way, that's true of the whole United States. We do more than anybody else to help people in need. But we can engage in that service, young people, in our parish, in our home, in our school, out in the local community. Find ways to be of service to others. Let me end with a story. There was a boy in my last parish. Called him Andy. Okay? Andy went to the parish school, and he graduated. And he would come over, because we had a soup kitchen that's at that parish, and the upper levels of the parish school, they would come over with adult supervision to help at the soup kitchen. Andy was one of those who went over. Okay. Goes on to high school, continues to come to Mass on Sunday, and is trying to live in his faith. Just before Easter, one year, I asked for volunteers to come to the parish to help clean up the church. It looked a little dingy. I noticed it. It must have been noticeable to everybody else. So I put out the call. Andy shows up. He's the only teenager who shows up, but he showed up. Okay. And he painted and did things. Right. Later that year, Andy was helping his father the Saturday after Thanksgiving to rake leaves from the lawn. Something in those leaves got into his respiratory tract. And during the night, Andy died. And I went over that morning, it was Sunday morning after my Mass, first Mass, and just in shock, we couldn't believe it. But there he was, dead. It's 16 or so. I think Andy's was the largest funeral I've ever had. But I'd say he left a legacy as a young person of living his faith, not being ashamed of it, but living it. I hope all of you, being confirmed this evening, get a much longer life on this good earth than Andy got. But I hope you will also learn to live your faith with joy and in service to others. I'd like to end by, I want to thank Monsignor and the any catechists here who helped with the confirmation program. Raise your hand. Okay. Thank you all. Okay. Thank you all. Good work. Secondly, sponsors, would you raise your hands? Okay. Very good. Thank you for accepting that role. When you come up and put your hand on your candidate's shoulder, it's a physical gesture, but it also is a symbolic gesture of your commitment to support this young person in living his or her Catholic faith. So the role doesn't end at the end of Mass. It continues. So by your prayers for this young person, by words of encouragement, by practical help, some reason the family isn't able to get to Mass on Sunday, but could you take this young person to Mass? Or need some help finding a book? I heard about something. I'm getting questioned by Purgatory and Mary in my public high school by these hot-to-try evangelicals. You know, could you find me something to read, look at, so I understand, can explain things better, and help them out. So your role doesn't end tonight, it continues. Parents, would you raise your hands? All right, very good, thank you. Tonight, you are seeing a partial fulfillment of the promise you made some years ago when you brought your child to be baptized, because you were asked, point blank, are you willing to raise your child in the Catholic faith? I presume you answered yes. And tonight you're seeing a partial fulfillment as your son, your daughter, is confirmed. So thank you, parents, for living up to your word so far. But your role is not ended either. Young people being confirmed, are you ready to quit school on Monday? Go out and find a full-time job. There is a scarcity of people to work, so maybe you got something. Set up a household for yourself. Do the cleaning, the laundry, the cooking, and pay taxes, federal, state, and local. You ready for that on Monday? I don't see any hands of the young people going up. Parents, your young people have just stated in public they still need you. And they do. But they need you not only to provide material things to them, they need you to live an example of a vigorous Christian and Catholic life. Okay. Most of my adult life I've been a parish priest. Okay. And I've seen over and over again in a family where love is practiced and where the faith is lived authentically, the young people learn to serve, to give of themselves to others. And they usually stay with us in the church. If they drift a little bit, they come back before too long. So parents, thank you for what you've done so far. Keep it up if you're doing it well. If you've got to rev up your motor a little bit, you've got a parish priest to talk to. There's some good resources online and elsewhere. You know, do it for your own good, but also the good of your family.